This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yo, 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 yo! Uh-oh, what is going on to my party people in the house? Man, you know it's hype. I'm recording this thing on a Monday. It's a fun day. We're going to do this thing our way. You know who it is. You know what time it is. And you will know what man this is. It's your main man, Anwar Richardson. And what are you listening to? Your Drunk Uncles Sports Podcast. And you know what? As I was just thinking about how we're going to start this thing off, you know, a lot of times, you know, I like to spice it up and try to do a little music, and I've got it. I'm taking it back. Just give me about a minute and a half to just enjoy myself, to set the mood for you to get hype, for you to dance. You ready? Check this one out. Tell me it's been a while since you've heard this one. Listen to his words. The whole world's coming together now. Uh-oh, Longhorn fans. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Ooh, think about it. Come on, move that chair. Are you the treadmill? To the left, to the right, to the left, to the right. You can do it. Come on. Enjoy yourself. Oh, we're going to break it down today. I got a lot to talk about. Get it, Michael. I don't know the words. This is all right. Yep. Uh-huh. Just have fun, man. Ride out for me for a second. Give me about 15 more seconds. It's that old school mic, though, isn't it? It's Black Michael right here. Yeah. One more time, baby. Can you feel it? Uh-huh. Oh, can you feel that Big 12 championship coming, Longhorn fans? One more time. Ooh, whoa. Tell me that Michael Jackson is not that fire. And tell me that's not the perfect intro song for what we're about to get into today. Because the question is, can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Because what you should be able to feel is knowing that your Texas Longhorns have finished 9-3 and are getting ready to face the University of Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game out there in Jerry's World on Saturday. Early kickoff. But it don't matter because you're in the game. And that's all that damn matters, because there's going to be other teams that have an opportunity to sleep the hell in. But that's not going to happen for your Texas Longhorns. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? All right, listen. I know there's going to be a lot of promo stuff going on right now. There's going to be a lot of new signups for the Yak, so on and so forth. So might be your first time listening to me. You might be like, who the hell is this? What the hell is this going on? This is not the typical podcast. You're right. It's not the typical podcast. It's called Your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast for a reason, because I'm your drunk uncle, Mr. Anwar Richardson himself. And why do I name it that, Your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast? Because here's the thing about your drunk uncle. Your drunk uncle is always going to be entertaining. Your drunk uncle is always going to have something funny to say. Your drunk uncle is a must-see TV. Your drunk uncle comes to the house, and you know you want to hear everything that your drunk uncle has to say, because your drunk awful uncle is off the chain. But here's one thing about your drunk uncle. He's going to drop some knowledge on you at some point. At some time, you don't know where it's going to hit you, and you're going to walk away saying, damn, that really made a lot of sense. And not let allow me to be your drunk uncle, because those who've been listening to podcasts, listen, they know, because they know what we're going to talk about, because they know their drunk uncle, predicted Texas would be in this. Oh, yes, I did. So now, this is your first time listening to this podcast. Real simple. Real easy. Sometimes I draw this thing out and I go and listen back to it. I'm like, man, I should just simplify it. First time listening, I curse. That's just me. I don't know when it's coming. It's kind of like Tourette's, kind of like a hurricane, kind of like a tornado. Actually, you kind of know when the hurricanes are coming. It's the tornadoes that kind of catch you by surprise. So just listen to my podcast in the most appropriate place. Do not get yourself in trouble at work or at home with the family, whatever you may be. Just understand you're listening to grown folks stuff. If you like nice, cute little podcasts where they say, let's go ahead and break down the matchups and let's talk about these things and let's talk about the cover three defense and how that goes against the zone. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, I can do that, but that's boring as hell. And that ain't me. And that's not my personality. I can do it. I understand it. But let's just be honest with you. You're not trying to listen to an hour of that shit. So understand, this is who I am. This is what I do. And I just authentic to thy own self be true. That's who I am. Okay. With all the intros and all the fun stuff out of the way, I spent the past couple of days up in Kansas City. I told you I wasn't going to stay in Lawrence. Forget that. I stayed in Kansas City. Wife came with me. The baby came with me. So we kind of had like a little family thing. My son, my oldest son, he was with his mom, you know, so this is my, let's not number the marriages. Let's just call it another marriage. Okay. And then he was with his mom, and he was on vacation out there skiing in New Mexico. My son lives his freaking best life. Like he's 5 and a half, actually it'll be 6 in January, man. So he was out there skiing. My wife has some daughters prior to me. They were with their dad. And so, you know, we just had our baby. We have our baby together. So we went out to Kansas City. So here's what's funny, right? Tries out with me. We fly on Thanksgiving Day. And Longhorn fans are on the plane to KC. And they, you know, when you travel and cover the team, and you guys know there's Longhorn fans who go to every single game, you kind of get to meet some of the same people. You get to see them all the time and stuff like that. So, you know, you're used to people. So this is the first time that people actually had a chance to meet my wife. And, you know, they would walk up to her and they would talk to her. It was just so funny to me because they want to go and try to talk to her about Texas football. But here's the thing that none of them know and they quickly learn. My wife doesn't give a damn about football. I mean, she literally does not give a damn about football. Let me explain my wife to you in a nutshell, right? And I think I may have shared this with you guys previously, but for those who didn't hear the story, so it was like last year sometime, and I want to say it was like spring ball. So not this year, but it was last year, Tom Herman's first year. And spring or fall, something like that. Regardless is that my wife was going to pick up like my son, and we met over at the LBJ library because I had a practice that I had to go to or cover this and that, right? So my wife, we were waiting there. She pulls up around the time and we're talking. She puts my son in the car. And then all of a sudden, Tom Herman starts walking through the parking lot and he sees me. He's like, hey, what's up? I'm Ross. Like, hey, what's up, coach? This and that. Hey, just wanted to introduce you to Bernice. Bernice is Tom. Tom, this and that. He's like, oh, nice to meet you. You're really beautiful. Wow. You know, typical guy stuff. Like, what are you doing with a guy like him? I don't know. You've outkicked your coverage. Like, we just demean each other. Like, guys can never just fucking pay each other compliments, right? We always just got to ball bust each other. Like, a guy can come out looking smooth in a suit and like, oh, look at you, P. Diddy. Like, we're just so weird about that. Like, we just can never like, man, that looks good, man. It's like, you outkicked your coverage. Like, okay, thanks. I mean, cool. So anyway, so we do all that talking, right? And then he goes, he's like, all right, gotta get to practice. Nice to meet you. This and that. And then, so I was like, she literally turns to me. She goes, who was that? And I was like, that's Tom Herman. And she's like, okay. I'm like, he coaches the University of Texas football team. Oh, really? So she had literally had no clue who she was talking to. Literally had no clue who she had met. It meant nothing to her. Now, if it had been some host off of HGTV or somebody off of Shark Tank or something like that, she would know exactly, like, oh, that's Mr. Wonderful. That's amazing. Like, Tom Herman, no recollection. So anytime now that I ever mentioned Tom Herman around the house, she's like, oh, Tommy. You know, oh, yeah, I remember meeting Tommy. Like, it's just funny. It was funny watching people trying to engage my wife in a conversation about football where she literally has no clue what I do. And that's just water. I don't have my alcohol yet. I ran out on Sunday in stupid freaking Texas with their damn communist liquor laws. Can't sell me alcohol on Sunday. Like, why? in Florida, you can sell alcohol after noon on Sundays. I mean, come on. But like Texas makes you want to, you have to stock up on Saturday. I was out of town and then I thought I had enough, whatever. So, you know, people ask me like, you know, how's that work for you? And it's actually a pretty good detox, to be honest with you. Cause I think if I came home every day and she was just wanting updates and she was just like, what's in the war room? What are you gonna put in the war room? You got any scoops? I mean, what's going on with Brew McCoy? Do you got anything on that? Like, I think I would actually hate her. So I think it's probably good that she actually has zero interest in what I do. So we went out, we had some Gates barbecue, you know, good. It was a KC thing, right? So you have to do the KC, like that's their thing. And, you know, she liked it, but of course we agreed Texas barbecue is better. Then I took her to Arthur Bryan's on Saturday and, you know, really good. I think Arthur Bryan's actually might be better than Gates, just to be honest with you. I think that Gates is so sauce heavy that I thought Arthur Bryan's was just a little bit better. You know, splitting hairs because it obviously doesn't compare to anything we're going to eat here in Texas. Still waiting for someone to take me under the wing and make me into a pit master. Hello, my email is open. Holler at your boy. I want to learn. Okay. So, you know, we get through the weekend. And a crazy thing happens. I get a tip. Getting into football now. Just so you know. Transitioning. Turning the page. And I get a tip. It's an interesting tip, too. And it was, what, you ever get something that it's so specific that you're like, this just has to be true. It's someone saying, the difference between someone saying to you, you know, oh, I've been to your house. And someone said, oh, yeah, I've been to your house. You have that, you know, brown sofa that's to the left-hand corner right by the fireplace. And then to the right, you guys have that open-air kitchen and this and that. Like, you, when someone gives you those type of details, you kind of know, like, okay, this person really has something. And someone gave me something really interesting on Sunday night. And they're like, hey, I heard that David Beatty is going to be coming to Texas. And he's going to be a person that is going to talk to sit down with Tom Herman and discuss the potentials of game planning and helping Tom Herman prepare for the play against Oklahoma. And I thought, that is so wild. That just has to be true. And so it's like, you know, God, you know, I got to do my due diligence. I just can't trust everything I just hear. You guys know me well enough to know I take a lot of pride. I take a lot of pride in, you know, my trying to have a good hit rate. Like, I'm not a guy that tries to throw spaghetti against the wall. Like, I've seen it too often. I see it too much in college football, to be honest with you. I don't like it because I feel like when I covered the NFL, accuracy was a huge thing. Like, it was your badge of honor. You know, you had to be accurate with stories. And I just feel like in college, it just seems like guys are able to just throw shit against the wall, throw the spaghetti against the wall. If it doesn't stick, oh, well, I'll try it again. And I'm just like, I don't want to be that guy. And I've taken pride in really not being that guy since I've been here. The only thing that people can ever even say against me, and it doesn't even come up that much, and I'm probably the only person that even thinks about it every once in a while, is the whole it's not even close. Because at the end of the day, I think we all know the story and how it kind of played out, that Charlie Strong did want Tyrone Swoops to play, did want Tyrone Swoops to start. And basically, the coaching staff had to hold him down and say, hell to the effing no, you're not going to do this. And then because of that, that's the only reason why Tyrone Swoops didn't play. But when I wrote the story, it was 100% accurate. It was confirmed by every outlet in the city who covered in Texas. Everybody confirmed the story. You know, it just so happened to go that way. And then people were like, well, you're wrong. I'm like, no, actually, I was right. And if you actually ever read what I wrote, I had so many hedges in there. I mean, it was like hedgehog, man. It was heads like, hey, man, I don't know. I'm just going to let you guys know. But you guys know, like, my hit rate has been, I take pride on it being pretty good. And come to find out, you know, I was actually correct. I put that story out there last night, you know, broke that story there on Orange Bloods. Tom Herman confirmed it on his Big 12 conference call on Monday. And then he was asked about it again on Monday afternoon. And he confirmed it there too, which, you know, by the way, it's always a good feeling because you damn sure prefer things to be confirmed instead of seeing stories blown up. Because I've seen people's stories blown up in front of their face. I've seen it happen here in Austin. And woo, man, that shit sucks. Like, that has to be a horrible feeling. I mean, So, here becomes the interesting thing. And this is what's led to a lot of discussion on our message board about the whole situation. What does this mean for David Beatty going forward? Because there's a couple of trades of thoughts. Because, you know, it's interesting. Because Tom Herman, when asked about that on Monday, he kind of was like, well, I don't really know why this is a big story. Like, this happens all the time. Like, we played USC, and then, you know, we called them up and said, hey, but what do you see, and what do you not, you know, what are the things that we're doing, this and that, and, you know, we gave them some help, and that was it. He's like, it's kind of a standard thing in the business. I agree. However, comma, which however is just like adding a but to something. Tommy, you know me and you are cool, right? It's your man. It's Anwar. Okay, let's just keep it real. Or as the kids would say, let's keep it 100. How often do people just fly into town and offer to give your entire staff a workshop / tutorial about the things that you're discussing? Because I don't know how often people are getting on a plane to say, hey, I don't mind sitting down with you guys and showing you things specifically on the board, in the video, this and that, helping you guys out. Like, I want to say that goes outside of the norm. It is, you know, it's, come on, man. Okay. Wink, wink. Everybody does it. I got it. Wink, wink. Come on, man. It's all good. You know, you got to say what you got to say and do what you got to do. But first and foremost, here's the main thing that's the main thing that's most important to me in this whole situation. Props to fucking Tom, man. Props to him. You know, props to him. You know, props to him for not standing pat and saying, okay, what can I do to take this up to the next level? Let me not take anything for granted. How can I be proactive? That's the thing I love to see out of coaches. I love to see coaches who are proactive. I hate coaches who are reactive, because when coaches are reactive, it always leads to bad things, right? But when they're proactive and it's like, man, how can we improve and how can we get better? That's impressive to me. And you've got to be impressed about that. Like, you have to just take a step back and say, you know what? That's my coach, and be happy with that. Which, by the way, speaking of your coach, is there anybody more worthy than for Big 12 Coach of the Year than it would be Tom Herman? Because I was thinking about this today. And who else deserves the award? I mean, Lincoln Riley went from Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray. You know, wasn't a huge drop-off. You know, Iowa State, I mean, Matt Campbell, they had a decent season, but Texas defeated them. Tom Herman's team went from 6 regular season wins to 9 regular season wins and are in the Big 12 championship game. I don't know if anybody else would be more worthy of it than him, to be honest with you. And I think the thing that disqualifies Lincoln Riley is that his defense is absolute hot garbage, like trash, like bought your booty with it. Like, where'd you get this from? Like, what kind of clearance rack did you get this thing? Like, where did you hire your coaches? Did you get them off of Craigslist? Were they on a Facebook ad? I mean, did someone just leave maybe their resume on your windshield? Was it one of those like flyers that you get like when you go out to like 6th Street or something like that? I mean, did someone just drop in like, hey, I got an idea for a defense, because just so you know, your defense is kind of bad. Spoiler alert, it's pretty horrible. And now it becomes an interesting thing, because now people talk about what's the future of David Beatty as it relates to the University of Texas program and Cliff Kingsbury. Let me address Kingsbury for a second. All right. Treat the Cliff Kingsbury story like Old Yeller. Take that damn dog out in the back and shoot him. Because you need to take that story out in the back and shoot it in the head and end it. If anybody approaches you this week about Cliff Kingsbury, you know what you say? What did the 5 fingers say to the face? What? Slap! That's what you say to them. You don't want to hear it. It's not going to happen. It's not. Guys, trust your drunk uncle. Your drunk uncle hasn't led you long yet, right? Your drunk uncle has been on point. Listen, it's not going to happen. There's a couple of things. First of all, you know, I asked around about this. Tom Herman and Cliff Kingsbury don't really have a great relationship. And people say, well, what does that even matter? Like, how's that even important? Well, here's why it's important. Position coach, you can get away with, right? Because you have your coordinator who ultimately answers to you, and your coordinator is a guy who's in sync with you. The coordinator is a guy who, that's your guy, handpicked, doing exactly what you want to do, kind of a yes man in many regards. That's your dude, right? As relates to bringing in a guy like Cliff Kingsbury, then essentially what you would have to do is say, Tom Herman would have to say, look, my offense isn't good enough. I need to bring in somebody else's system. And then if you just listen to what Tom Herman was saying on Monday, when he talked about this is the first time in 5 years that they've had the same offensive coordinator for two straight years, what do you think that was? You think that was just came out of the blue? Or do you think that he's heard the whispers about Kingsbury and he's letting people know continuity means something to him? And the last thing he's wanting to do after he's finally gotten continuity is to break it up. What did he say? You see Sam Ehlinger, what he's able to do. You think that's happening overnight, or you think it's because he's been in the same system for 2 years? Again, Cliff Kingsbury. It's you got to listen. You got to listen with a third ear. You know, don't listen with your 2 years. Listen with a third ear. And that's what he's saying. Cliff Kingsbury, that's not going to happen. It's just not. Coach Kuhl will go somewhere else. He's not coming to Austin. Okay? Now, what does this mean as far as David Beatty's concerned? Well, this is what I believe to be true. And this is what I've just, you know, kicked some tires on this. I mean, it's early. I'll tell you, it's early. It's early because you haven't had coaching changes and things to that effect. From what I can tell, I spoke to some people who are close to Beatty. Some people, like I spoke to 18 people close to Beatty. Okay, I spoke to a source that I really trust who's close to Beatty. That's better, right? I ain't trying to bullshit you, but like I spoke to 5 people who know Beatty. Like, come on. I'm keeping it real. There's other writers in this market who are going to fake the funk on you and give you some BS. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm always going to be true. Or I'm always going to keep it real with you guys. I spoke to a person who's close to him. I spoke to some people at UT too. You know, David Beatty's going to be a guy who's going to want to see what happens, what opens up. Because ultimately, you know, if you're a guy like David Beatty, you know, you can afford to be choosy. I mean, you're going to get like a $3 million payout. I think it's $3 million payout payable over like 6 payments or something like that. Good God almighty. You can buy me out. F of Kansas. And he's got, you know, wants to see like, hey, can he be a coordinator somewhere, right? Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the natural thing. First and foremost, it's going to be can I coach somewhere? Can't be a head coach somewhere. So you got to see what that scenario is like. If he doesn't get a head coach offer, which, look, if you get fired from Kansas, probably not going to get many head coaching offers going forward. I mean, Kansas is one of the worst programs in all of college football. Not really going to go up from there. You know, maybe you get, you know, some smaller offers somewhere else at small schools, mid-major type schools. Then if that doesn't work, I mean, I don't know. Does it go to like a Texas State? I don't know how that works. Does he even want to do something like that? I'm just throwing stuff out there, right? Once you get past that, then he's got to see, okay, what's available as far as the OC and offensive coordinator's position is concerned right now, as of today, okay, what's today? The 26th, as I'm recording this. I don't foresee a change in the OC position. I think that if I had to put for what I feel like I know to be true, I don't see Tom Herman making those kind of changes. I just see him as a guy that is going to stay with Tim Beck. He'll operate the system, call the plays himself, and he'll go from there. Tim Beck will be his eyes in the sky. I don't see him bringing in, you know, Beatty to say, okay, you run this. He's been through too much to then relinquish it and give it to somebody else and then hope for the best. And then if that doesn't work out, then he's got to do it, you know. And again, the main thing, and I think you guys have to notice, you guys understand this because you appreciate it because you guys are really knowledgeable college football fans. Coaches don't want to start getting rid of coordinators until they have to. Like, coordinators are the last line of defense until they come for you. So you want to hold on to your coordinators as long as possible. Now, if they go find a job, fine. Go find a job. Go somewhere else. But I ain't firing you, and not unless I have to. Because once I start firing coordinators, there's no one else left to fire. So I think you're going to have to – I don't see him as even in the realm for the coordinators type of stuff. Now, if he's willing to come to Austin as an offensive analyst – and be on staff? AD all day. All day. That very, very likely that I would say very likely scenario. If he had no other offers, and coming to Austin for a couple of years, build yourself up, and then go from there, that would be the best case scenario, I think, for everyone involved, especially when you got $3 million in the bank. I mean, work is fun. Work is optional. Let me have $3 million in the bank. I may not quit my job, but my attitude sure will change. Whoa. Give me $3 million in the bank, catch. Hey, you're going to yak these nuts. No, I'm just messing with y'all. I'm just messing with you. Sorry if I offended the Christians out there. Just know, pray for me. God's not through with me. By the way, sidebar, you know, so I do go to church, right? Surprisingly, right? So I go to like Summit Worship Center. It's off of Anderson Mill Road. The pastor, his name is Eric Moore. Pastor, I'd be feeling some type of way on Sunday, right? Because before he started off his sermon, he's like, "All right, guys, I just got good news, and you know, God is good." And I'm thinking, okay, well, God is good, Pastor. What you gonna tell us about how the Lord done blessed you? And he start, and then somebody yells, "Boomer!" I was like, "What the hell?" And then I forgot that apparently my pastor went to OU, and I guess he may have played quarterback at some point. He was on the team. Eric Moore. Y'all look up Eric Moore, Oklahoma. In fact, I'm going to look it up right now so I know what the hell I'm talking about. So I guess he's from Dallas. He played there. I guess it looks like I'm looking up the stats. Looks like he played there in 95 or something like that. So I guess he's true to his Oklahoma. But here's my thing, right? I knew that a little bit. Like, I knew he played like a little football for OU, this and that. But I just kept thinking, I was like, hey, man, like, you know, I ain't here for all that, man. You just go stay in your little Bible and go preach a little word and stuff like that. Don't make me. I have to deal with this crap on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? I got to deal with this stuff. And, you know, sometimes people get on a message board and troll like, I can't deal with this in church. Just stick to your God. Don't tell me how God has blessed you guys. And then if OU beats Texas in the Big 12 championship game, like how somehow this means something, and OU gets to say this and that, and like, hey, man, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, dude. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. I'm just saying, you make me feel like I may have to get another church. You try that BS again, Pastor. I ain't lying to you. Let Pastor know that. You know, you want a building, you want a new building fund. Well, brother, you're going to need some checks. And you're going to need them from Texas fans because you are in Austin. Stay in your lane, Pastor. Shit. Anyway, and you know, it's weird. It's like Dr. Leonard Moore preaches there every once in a while, too. So I'm just like really confused about that. So anyway, so David Beatty could go maybe as an analyst at some point. We'll see how the whole thing plays out. You got to give this a couple of weeks. But some people say, like, is this an interview or not? Like, I don't know if it's an interview or anything like that, but I will say this. I don't think, I mean, look, Tom Herman's a friend of his. Like, don't get me wrong. I know they're friends, but, you know, it's not called an interview. It's just called like a feeling out process. You know, just and see what happens. Now, here's the interesting thing. Apparently, Lincoln Riley caught wind. I mean, he heard about it, like, because everybody was talking about it. And, oh, shout out here, Sean King, 2018 Recruiter of the Year. By 24/7 Sports. Well, it's on 24/7 Sports, but well-deserved honor by my main man, Sean King, who is the godfather of my son. Sean King, the former Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback, used to known him for years, known him from Tampa, known him for tons of years. I don't know how it's been so long. As one of my good friends. And obviously he's godfather to my son. So good for Sean King. He's over at assistant at the University of South Florida. One good thing to happen at that damn program, because my gosh, God, Charlie, you just killing it. You're killing it in a bad way. Fuck. Anyway, you know, on Twitter, I was looking, and one of these tweets by Tyler Palmateer. Palm, I don't know your damn name. Palmateer. Well, how do you pronounce his name? Tyler. We're just going to call you Tyler for right now. Tyler, he said, Riley on David Beatty helping Texas as a consultant this week. Coach Beatty can do what he wants. But he adds he doesn't like the precedent of this type of thing. Says no comment when asked if brother Garrett Riley will help OU. Oh, someone salty. Hey, man, it's a boss move. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And listen, Tom Herman is going out there, and he's trying to get some help. And what's the precedent? What's the precedent? You know, it's one coach helping out another. It happens. You should have thought of it. I mean, like, you should have thought of it, and really, you should have hit him up first. Or you should hit up somebody else who's one of your friends and say, man, what can you help me with? But I think the precedent is, man, you better have a whole lot of friends in college football, because if you don't, man, this thing can come back and bite you in the ass. I mean, at the end of the day, man, Tom Herman's here to win. Tom Herman ain't here to make friends. And if David Beatty wants to help his friend and maybe in turn look good for a potential job opening, if it ever happens at the University of Texas, hey, so be it. I mean, that's just how the game plays. This is how life is. Life is always about, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. And if this is his way of getting a hookup, so be it. But hey, Lincoln, don't be mad. And hey, Lincoln, I mean, really, at the end of the day, I mean, what's Dave Beatty really going to say? Oklahoma's defense isn't good. Newsflash. No, he's going to tell him, like, he's there to basically tell him, like, hey, you guys do this. When you guys do this and this and this, it's easy for people to read that. You guys tip us off on this. Like, this is what makes you guys so predictable. And so you know what Texas is going to do? They're going to switch it up. And now Oklahoma is going to have to be playing the guessing game the entire time. This is checkers. This is not chess. As your man Denzel would say in Training Day. Checkers, this ain't chess. So props to him for making that move. Props to Tom Herman. We're going to see what happens. And by the way, as we get ready to get into Rivalry Week, because by the way, you guys know later this week, you know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. You know what I'm going to be talking about. You know what quarterback I'm going to be talking about. Ha ha! You let your friends know that Pastor Anwar is coming at the end of this week, and I'm going to be preaching. Oh, I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to be back on the mic. It's going to be fun. So stay with the Twitter thing, right? So apparently they asked Kyler Murray if he respected Sam Ellinger's game. And Kyler, being Kyler, decided to say no comment. Well, not a good thing about Kyler's. I mean, at least he's consistent. I mean, you cannot take anything away from that young man as far as his consistency goes. At the end of the day, he feels like he's going to be an ass, and if he's going to be an ass on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he's not going to change. So, hey, at least you know what you're getting out of him. At least you know he's not full of it. You got to, in some ways, you don't have to like him because you're never going to like him, but you got to respect it. Kind of respect people who you know what to think about him, and you know where they're coming from. We get it. So we're going to get it later. We're going to get into Sam Ellinger versus Kyler Murray part two. I wrote it into my Sunday pulpit. No handshake required. I mean, it is what it is between those two guys, man. And this is going to be, could end up being one of the more memorable OU Texas games in history. Definitely in recent history. I mean, it's not to say they haven't been good games or great games, and not to say this rivalry is not historic, but for the chips that are on the line, this is going to be fun. It's going to be exciting to watch. But I just want to say one thing. Your drunk uncle told you so. Your drunk uncle told you that Texas was going to be in the Big 12 championship game. Did I tell you that? That's what you know, you're like, oh man, the drunk uncle, man, he does the stuff with the music sometimes, and he like preaches and he tells funny stories about his family and his kids and this and that. And then I tell you, that's why you just gotta stay tuned, because I'm gonna say a lot of things, but then I'm gonna drop some stuff on you that you're gonna be like, whoa, here is why. And they're gonna do a whole Orange Bloods podcast dedicated to me. Cannot wait for that later this week. It's going to be fun. I don't know what I'm going to do. I may just wear a robe while I'm in the house with some slippers. Maybe I wear a cape. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to celebrate it. But this is why I think it's important. And this is where I think that the one thing I've tried to preach to you guys all year long, you've heard me all year long, been fairly, fairly consistent, which I've told you guys all consistently, celebrate the moments. Don't stop looking at all the big picture stuff and stop looking at, well, it doesn't do this and that, and what did the team that do this and the defense did it look like this and this. What I kept telling you, just know that Texas is winning. Just be happy that Texas is winning. This year, what did I tell you? Style points don't matter. I've been very consistent about that. Style points don't matter. Wins matter. And all that mattered was Texas was compiling wins. And all I saw that Texas finds a way to win. And it may not be pretty. Okay, so they're not beating teams by 2 touchdowns or 3 touchdowns. And they're winning. The majority of teams aren't beating teams like by 2 or 3 touchdowns. Like at some point, I just wish Alabama wouldn't be on TV. Because if we just stopped watching Alabama and just started watching regular college football, we'd realize that that's Alabama. And then it's like everybody else. So Alabama is the sexiest person that you have in your mind. And I'm not going to name one because we all have our different preferences, right? But whoever you think is the sexiest man or woman that's out there, that's Alabama. Everybody else is just kind of the people who are just chilling at like the Domain or something like that. Or maybe at the W on a Friday or Saturday night, like, you know, some good looking people every once in a while. You're going to have some ugly looking people. Like, you just, everyone's just going to just co-mingle. You know, everyone's going to find a way to make it work. It's okay. You know, there's other programs like going to, you know, Randall's or something. Randall's isn't that bad, but it's overpriced compared to HEB. I mean, HEB is just, HEB does a damn thing. Like, HEB is the best grocery store I've ever seen. Like, this, that shit there is like amazing. I can just sit there and just watch the cooking samples and stuff like that. So shout out to HEB because everything about that place is amazing. So what I kept telling you is like, listen, man, appreciate how far this program has come. And look, Texas is 9-3. They're going to play in a Big 12 championship game. At the end of the day, man, you just got to appreciate where this team is at. Tom Herman keeps saying that they're overachieving. It's an interesting thought. And he said he says it's a compliment. And in some ways, I definitely think it is, you know, it's a compliment to the players. It's also a compliment to the coaching staff, what they've been able to do and been able to accomplish. And yes, he is right. When you look at the all Big 12 team that's going to probably come out this week, maybe Charles Emenihu might be the only guy that's on the team, maybe. And that's probably pretty much it. The talent's there. Now, that being said, it just means there's a lot of talent in the Big 12. I'm not going to say there's not a lot of talent in Texas. But here's the other thing, because the whole Big 12 team will come out this week. And what did I say before? Who's probably going to end up being coach of the year? Tom Herman. Staying with that theme, coaching matters. And Tom Herman looks like a guy who is figuring it out. It's not perfect. It's not pretty. But it's getting the job done. And as long as it's getting the job done, you can't be mad at that. You just got to take it the way you take it. And listen, if Texas goes out and they beat Oklahoma this weekend, which, again, we'll get into my next podcast, and I'll give you some more specifics, give you some more of my thoughts. I'm going to break down a little bit more matchups. We're going to have a little bit of fun with everything. At the end of the day, I think if Texas goes out and does what it needs to do, you know, spoiler alert, Texas wins. Because I think Oklahoma has got tremendous athletes, but I think Texas is the better team. That makes sense. Styles make fights. You know, I'm a fight guy. You guys know this. I'm a boxing guy. I remember Roy Jones Jr. I covered him, covered tons of his fights. Also covered Antonio Tarver. Roy Jones Jr. fights John Ruiz as a heavyweight, and then he moves down. Goes and faces Tarver the first time they face each other. It's in Las Vegas. Tarver loses by the decision. I can't remember if it was split or majority of decision. But it was a close fight. It was a close fight. Maybe unanimous, but no matter what, it was a close fight. It was a different style. And people never really, you were waiting for Roy to do what he normally does. But he couldn't do it against Tarver. Tarver was a southpaw. Tarver was a lot faster than people thought he was. He was a little slick. So they do a rematch. And in the rematch, Roy Jones gets knocked out in the second round. And then, of course, Tarver wins the third fight. Styles make fights. And sometimes when it comes in football, styles make the game. I mean, look at Army versus Oklahoma a few weeks ago. I mean, Army took Oklahoma to overtime. Oklahoma was in life or death with Army. Is because Army is such a tremendous, tremendous program? No. Army had a style that they used that kept Oklahoma off balance that Oklahoma had no answers for. Hard to have answers when you have a horrible defense. That being said, that's why I'm talking about when we get there, and we'll talk about it later, Texas styles make fights. And I just think the Texas style is going to be better than the Oklahoma style. That's just my belief. I could be wrong. Thankfully, have been wrong too often this year. And I'll take it. Because you know what? I'll take the wins any way I can get them. Man, if you are a Texas fan today, you've got to be feeling good, man. I mean, you have to be feeling good. You've got to be excited about what your team has been able to accomplish. 9-3. I think I had them at the 8-win mark. So we're going to see what happens with the bowl game. I mean, this is a team that has the potential to do 11. Hey, take it how you can get it. Do what you got to do with it. But it's an exciting time. This week is going to be interesting because having Texas and OU, oh my gosh, in a championship game, knowing the history of it, knowing the hatred of it, knowing all these things and how this thing is going to go back and forth, how this thing is going to shape out. It's going to be one of the better games and more exciting themes. And by the way, and I'm not going to do it. But there are some really weird scenarios out there that it would take a lot of things to happen. And I'm not going to do it today. And I'm probably not going to do it this week because it's mind-numbing. But, you know, some teams lose ahead of Texas. And depending on how they lose, Texas goes and wins, there's some weird scenarios where Texas can jump into the top four. I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying it's out there. But we're not. I haven't had anything to drink today because I haven't had anything to drink. I'm definitely not going to approach it like that. This is going to be a great week, guys. I thank you for listening to your Drunk Uncles Sports Podcast. And before I go, you're going to say, well, hey, Honor, how can we recap anything about the Kansas game? Do you really want to talk about the Kansas game? I mean, I don't want to relive that. I feel bad for Alex Dunlap. He's going to have to do some sort of film study on that crappy game. I'm not talking about that. The main things is Brandon Jones looks like he's going to play this week. That's huge. Sam Ehlinger, he's just going to fight through the plane. That's going to obviously be huge. I mean, before I go, everybody else is relatively healthy. So, realistically, there's really nothing else left to talk about Kansas outside of Davey Beatty coming here. Outside of that, though, Longhorn fans, right on out. Because I know you can feel it, baby. A few days away from a potential Big 12 championship for your Longhorns. You should be dancing to that one. It's so much easier, too, by the way, to cover this team when everyone's happier. All right, guys. You guys have a fantastic, fantastic week. And I will be talking to you. Get ready, because Pastor Anwar, he's coming back.